clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us on SST. I would say that we have our whole crew here ready to make some picks, but it's just not true. What is true is that you can find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can appreciate it any which way, audio, video, however you like it. But unfortunately, if you look at the video, you will not see our losing members of the Picks podcast, Pat Boyle or Mark Shenlugin. Instead, you will see the tied for first winners of the Picks podcast, Pete Kennedy, that's me, and of course, Cody O'Connor. What's up, brother?
Tied for first. That was really nice of you, because you do have one in the loss column.
So, I do.
I will point that out continuously, because I'm not in first place, and off another 1-2, and a disappointing one again. But, you know, there's no excuses to be made. We just got to make better picks. And hopefully this week that's what we're going to do. I'm not here to tell you about 3-0. I'm here to make solid picks this week. There is no gimmicks. Let's just get back to the winning ways.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I was very proud of my Giants plus 6.5. And I really hyped them up on the picks pod last week. I said that the Packers were due for a letdown, which they did. Jordan Love came back to earth by a million. That was great for me, but that only counts as one, Cody. You know, yeah. I said in the text chat that it felt like it should count as two. It doesn't. It counts as one. But what really upset me is I really liked Buffalo last week. I really, really liked them. But I put them in a teaser because I was being a coward. That's right. And I put them in a teaser, and the other leg missed, which was the Colts plus 8. Had a chance. It was live. It missed. It is okay. We move on. But really, I do deserve some S talk thrown at me for backing the Los Angeles Chargers. And as we sit here during halftime, probably the third quarter by now, and they're down 42-0 against the Raiders.
I got you live right now, and I wrote it in the chat. Devontae just scored, which was huge for my fantasy matchup.
Good
it
for
is
you.
Now 49-0.
My goodness. Quarter. Brandon Staley might not make it out of the third quarter. If they don't fire him now, what are they doing?
We laughed because Richard Sherman said at halftime that they should fire him before half. He should be fired before they go out for the third quarter.
Which, it's wild to come at another man's job generally, but obviously it's understood when you're talking about football. It's wild to do it live. Like when the guy's like walking by you towards the locker room and Sherm's on Amazon Prime like, yeah, fire him right now. It's unbelievable. But yeah, listen. It's over for Brandon Staley. Yeah. It's not over for our boy Herbo. I mean, obviously it is this season, but not moving forward. He obviously deserves more than enough leash to figure this one out and right the Charger ship. We'll see if Kellen Moore gets the nod. He obviously hasn't kind of been that guy who everyone expected him to be this year. But the Chargers are a conversation for a different day. We don't have to worry about picking them, teasing them, betting against them. We don't have to worry about them at all because they already lost by 100. So it is what it is. Reminder, however, and this goes to our fantasy podcast listeners as well. We had our fantasy podcast, How to Win Your Playoffs in Fantasy, earlier in the week. And one thing I said at the end of the episode that I wanted to say earlier, I'm going to say it again now. There are games on Saturday. Do not forget to check the lineup Saturday morning. Do not forget to check the injuries on Saturday morning. Because if you're relying on, I don't know, Michael Pittman, and God forbid he's not playing on Saturday afternoon, you need to know that. All right. So remember, there's games on Saturday. So those games are obviously also in play for our picks here on the Picks Podcast, which will be released on Friday. So Cody O'Connor, without further ado, you and your 24-18 self, why don't you kick us off with your first pick?
I'd love to. And I told you last week I made probably my least favorite pick of all time, and it lost. And I deserved it because I performed a cardinal sin of my own that I never do, and I bet against my own football team. And I got exactly what I deserve. Now, you guys didn't get to see this, listeners, but I did get a live line at plus 230 of the Giants. So I did still, you know, get to hit that money line there. And now I have to go back to him because I don't see how 6 points against the Saints. I know it's in New Orleans, but the dome ain't the same. 6 points feels just far too high to me. And it's a part of a two-legger, so I guess I'm a little bit scared, but I am going to start with the Giants here. I'm going to buy them up to 14. But part of it is I don't think the Saints can blow anybody out, and we've been saying that all year. And you and I both have backed the Saints in the preseason. I got them to win the division in two different plays, and I think you had their win total. But yeah, watching them as often as we do, as closely as both of us are, I think both of us feel they're just not the type of team that's just going to blow you out. I know they just beat up the Panthers. That's the Panthers. This is the Giants. And whether you think Tommy DeVito is legit or not, or if you think the offense is, I don't think there's any denying that this defense with Wink Martindale running the system is legit. And the way I see it is, on each level of that defense, they've got two-plus guys that are playing outstanding football. And starting on the D-line with Kayvon Thibodeau, who's at 12 sacks now on the year, and beyond that, he's just making effort plays and forcing fumbles, and he's all over the place. And all the concerns that came with him and his attitude and what his effort might be going into the draft, I think he's all but answered those. And the other guy, if you don't know him, Dexter Lawrence might be the best interior defensive lineman in all of football. That's not hyperbole. That's not me being a Giants fan. That's just statistics and facts. And he was on a snap count this past week. He will not be on one, I don't believe, against the Saints. Played 20 snaps, had snaps, and had 12 pressures and a sack in those 20 snaps. The man is a straight-up game wrecker on the interior line. Go to the middle linebacker. You got Bobby Okereke. You've got Micah McFadden there in the middle of your defense. And Deontay Banks looks like a legit cornerback. And Xavier McKinney, despite his comments, has been playing really good football of late. So they've got guys all over that defense. So I feel very comfortable that not only do I not think the Saints are going to blow them out, this is the game the Giants, if they have any true hope of the playoffs, they absolutely have to be able to beat the Saints. I think this is a close game, so plus 14. And then I'm going to go back to a pick, a team that I and really a quarterback that I trashed early on in the year, but they've played great football. So I'm going to buy up the Denver Broncos to 8.5 in Detroit. Detroit's a very good home team, so that part's a little bit tough. But I think they're two evenly matched teams. Detroit has not looked great, especially on the defensive side of the ball of late. So I think that – and Russell Wilson just had a baby, so congrats, Russ. Maybe wow. maybe a little daddy bump for him this week. So buying them up to 8.5 again. Detroit not being able to get many stops defensively. Offensively, they still look good, but they just lost to the Bears. They struggled with the Saints. They lost to the Packers the week before. They gave up 40-plus to the Chargers the week before that. They just simply haven't looked like the world beater, you know, 9-4 now, I think they are. But they're not running away with that division just yet. I think Denver's going to keep it close as they are now in a battle in the AFC West. So Giants plus 14, Denver plus 8.5. Lines have moved, so now it's minus 122, but that's pick number one.
Cody, you want to be jealous right now?
Would love to.
You want to be really jealous right now? Because you're going to be upset.
Really, now I'm a little more concerned.
All right, here's my first pick. Giants plus 6 at Saints. Book it. Come on. What are we messing around for, huh? What are we messing around for, Cody? The Giants are not just going to cover the spread. They're going to be in it late, and they're probably going to win the game. Listen, I have not known many things in the world of the NFL. However, I got to say this, Cody. I don't have the stats in front of me, but off the top of my head, I think I've put the Giants in my picks 5 or 6 times and maybe have lost one of those picks so far this year. I've had a good feel for this team. For a lot of it, I've kind of known when to stay away. I've known when to push the button on the Giants, whether it be with the spread or to win a game outright or in a teaser. I've hit them on a couple teasers this year. I think the only one I might have missed was the Raiders, which was a weird game that got blown out. It is what it is. However, The Giants have played well against teams that are under 500. So if you look at those teams, if you count the Seahawks as a team that's under 500, it makes the record a little bit worse. They're one game under. When they played each other, the Seahawks very much were not under 500. So I'm kind of leaving them out of my data set here. But Commanders, they win the game. Bills, they cover 6 points. Mm-hmm. Jets, they cover 6 points. Raiders, they got blown out. That's the outlier. They beat the Commanders. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Packers. So this is a team all along throughout this entire season where our biggest mistake was expecting them to punch up. They haven't punched up much. They punched up against the Packers. That's about it this entire freaking season, right? So what do you see in the New Orleans Saints? If we talked about this team in week 2, we would have said, oh, the Saints have a great defense. The Saints are the runaway favorites to win the South. But now the Saints are an offense that freaking struggles. The Saints are a team that can't move the ball. And with all the DeVito hype, with all the Saquon love that you can give, the Giants defense, like you kind of mentioned and outlined there, has been the stalwart of this team, keeping them in games consistently. And I expect nothing less here. Like you mentioned, the Saints are not a team to blow people away. very frequently and getting to 6 points. Obviously, I wish it was seven, but six is more than enough for me. I think this comes down to a field goal. I think it's going to be a close one, and the hype is not all, you know, facades and smoke and mirrors for Tommy DeVito in this offense. They have a little bit of consistency. Mm-hmm. They are moving the ball pretty well, even on the drives where they're not getting points. You're seeing first downs. You're seeing that offensive line get better over time. And I thought the broadcast did a great job, Buck and Aikman, on Monday night talking about the run game getting better in the second half because the game was close enough that they didn't have to abandon the run. Yeah. And with this Saints team, they're not going to be the type of team to really just, you know, roll over you and go up three scores where you have to pass. So I expect, again, second half strong performance. DeVito clearly not afraid to use his legs. Giants plus six. That's my first pick. I'm not trying to overthink this. I'm just going with the team who I think is going to compete and keep this one close within 6 points. Giants is my first pick.
Yeah, and been playing great ball. And I had cutlets for dinner tonight. And I know my last name's O'Connor, but my mom's maiden name is Dallas Allen. She's whipping up the cutlets in there. And I'm like, oh, man. If this doesn't say Tommy DeVito, man, I don't know what will. So
now, let me just say this before you get to your next pick, because if you've also been listening to the podcast and following along with how I've been doing stuff all year, I'm big on what, Cody? What have I said 100 times here?
Well, you try to take the team, you know, the opposite of what they did last week, essentially.
Correct. So that would go against this pick here, for sure. So I went against the Packers thinking, like, they're flying a little too close to the sun, and you could easily argue the Giants are flying too close to the sun here. So that makes me a bit nervous, but the Saints are coming off a win too, so yeah. I throw that idea out the window for this one.
Yeah, and a big win, and that's what's weird about this line is it because the Saints are coming off that big win? Is it because nobody still believes in the Giants, which is understandable? I mean, they are 5-8 after all this hype, and they've won three in a row. But usually when you win in prime time against a good team like that, I feel like a point or two starts to go in your direction when maybe it shouldn't be. And it feels the opposite, which is the number of six is bizarre, but that's because I just don't think the Saints deserve that many points.
And also, the Saints haven't been the home juggernaut that we all kind of think they are, right? Like, they're not just this team that goes home and wins all the time at home. Like, they've lost a handful of home games this year. They got smoked by the Bucs early in the year at home. They lost to the Jaguars at home, which obviously are a better team than them. But, you know, it's not like the old Saints. They lost to the Lions at home 2 weeks ago. It's not the old Saints where it's like, oh, my God, they're home. They need three extra points in the spread. No team's getting three extra points in the spread. I do think, though, to your point, Cody, if this didn't come off a Giants big win, based off the team's overarching kind of perception, this could easily have been a seven-point spread. So I think the six is giving that little bit of respect to the Giants.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to find out on Sunday, but we're both liking them. We're both backing them, and we'll see where we go. Pick number two, I got a straight pick for you. Another line that it doesn't make any sense now to me, and it's because it's moved in the opposite direction, and we talked about it in our group chat, and it's the Chiefs who are now at -8, who opened up at -9.5 in New England. They dropped down to 7.5, which, again, I simply can't understand. Maybe it's people officially saying, like, this is not the same Chiefs, and I don't trust them to blow teams out, and this, that, and the third. The Patriots won a game. They won on prime time. They won with Bailey Zappe. Maybe it's different. I'm not buying any of that. The Patriots are not good. They are simply not good. They're a decent defensive unit. I get that. But so are the Chiefs. So if you're giving me 8 points now, I think the Chiefs score 17 and cover that. I think if the Chiefs score 20, it's all but locked up. I don't think that the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball very well against them. And yes, I know that the Chiefs' offense has clearly not looked the same. I mean, there's drops everywhere. You don't know where Mahomes is going to go. You don't know what's trusted. And right now we don't know if Isaiah Pacheco is playing, and maybe that's a bit of a factor. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't look too bad last week. And the Chiefs now coming off back-to-back losses, I don't think anyone in the world believes they're going to lose this game. And I don't want to mess around with the Chiefs. So you didn't want to mess around with the Giants and adding a leg. I don't want to mess around here with the Chiefs and adding a leg. I want them straight up. People are probably thinking they can't blow teams out. Well, if you remember just a couple weeks back, their last win against the Raiders, they started down 14-0 quick, and it looked ugly, and they rung a quick 28 on them. They still have that ability. They still have that burst. and they still have that bad man, Patrick Mahomes. So not too much more to go into this. Just think that the Patriots are not a team that's going to win football games. Plus, the Bill Belichick rumors came out this week of how this is going to be his last year. So there's a little bit something of that, whether it could play to their favor, but I think it's more of a distraction in a team that is looking to the future, and their future right now is a top-end draft pick. And the Chiefs have now the Denver Broncos right on their tail in the West, so they've got to win. So Chiefs -8 straight up for pick number two.
I love it. We're keeping it simple this week, Cody. One thing I forgot to mention about that that Giants line, too. At +6 here, 63% of the tickets on the Giants, 81% of the cash. So sharp money coming in on the G-men as well. On the Chiefs front, I agree that the weirdest part about that game is the line movement. Mm-hmm. Like, it just really makes you uncomfy when you see that jump, right? Like, you shouldn't see that from just Pacheco. Yeah. You know, you see a half point here, or maybe a full point here, and you're like, okay, like, whatever, it happens. Maybe there's some really sharp money and it is what it is. But when it dropped down the way it did to 7.5 at one point, now it's back up to 8. It was a little bit bizarre. And Pacheco, for as much as he matters to that offense, it shouldn't have been that big of a deal. And the Patriots beat the Steelers. Like, come on. Right. It's not like they beat
the Mitch Trubisky Steelers.
Exactly. So I'm here for that as well. My second pick, I guess there's a trend here between you and I this week. Maybe we felt inspired from Pat Boyle's raw dog mentality last week. I'm going with another straight bet here as well. I'm taking the Los Angeles Rams -6.5 home against the Washington Commanders. Another spread that's right near that touchdown marker. A little bit frustrating that it is where it is. Obviously, you feel better about teasing them, right, to get them through the three, get them down to 1.5 or a half a point, just the money line or whatever it may be. But too often this year, I would have been teasing the Giants. I guess I wouldn't have because they're not over 7. But nonetheless, a lot of people would like to tease the Giants from 6-1 or 6 to money line and Ram 6.5 to a half. And it's like, oh, look at that. How can it lose? I don't know how it could lose. How I'm going to say that I want to bet this, though, is just taking the Rams 6.5, and here's why. The Commanders, out of their last 7 games, they've lost 6 of them. Cody, they've only lost by less than 6 in one of those 6 losses. They lost by 3 to the Seahawks 4 weeks ago, right? They lost by a touchdown to the Giants. They lost by a touchdown to the Eagles. They lost by another 12 to the Giants when they lost again. Lost by 35 to the Cowboys and 30 to the Dolphins. The Rams are not quite the Dolphins. They're not quite the Cowboys, but they are definitely the Giants at minimum, right? So I think the Rams, with their new spark, with Stafford's health, with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua kind of cooking the way they are, and more importantly, Kyron Williams being back, this is a spot where the Rams can have one of these victories. The Rams went toe-to-toe with the Ravens last week. They are playing great football. The Commanders are on their way down. Yes, Sam Howell will sling it, and he'll make you a little nervous with a backdoor cover, but I don't care. I think the Rams cover this up by a touchdown here. They've been playing great football the past couple weeks, and they have the weapons. They have the defense that's been tuning up just enough. And don't forget about this. 2 weeks ago, against the Cleveland Browns, who have been one of the best defenses in football, the Rams put up 36 points. This team's cooking. They've scored 30 3 weeks in a row. And I expect nothing less at home against the Commanders. Rams -6.5 is my second pick.
Yeah, I stared at that line. Like, do I money line it? Do I take it straight? Do I take the over? And I ended up not taking it there. I'll probably see it in my pool picks because I do like the pick. And since Stafford got taken away from me this week in fantasy, my quarterback is Justin Herbert going into the playoffs, who obviously got hurt, so now I'm in need of a quarterback on waivers, and my buddy who I'm playing, he took him straight from me, put up a way too high amount because he had the extra roster spot. He's got Lamar, he's not playing the guy, but he took him.
Gamesmanship.
It's the right move. It was a good move. It was one I thought he might do. He's the type of guy that would, and he pulled it off.
And don't tell me you ended up with Sam Howell.
I am still deciding. Right now I have Geno, but I am deciding because I had Kyler Murray. I don't like him playing against San Fran. So I'm deciding because Sam Howell.
I'm playing him. I'll say this.
Early, and he could get the garbage time, 2 touchdowns, rushing a little bit. Like, he's a viable, more than viable, a pretty solid fantasy.
He's averaging 18 fantasy points a game, man. He's playing great fantasy football. He's not playing great real football, however, but he's doing what he has to do. He's also rushed for a few touchdowns over the past couple weeks. So I'm actually, this is funny that we're here now. I have Tua in my best league as my quarterback. Started him every week except for the bye. You know, that's just what I did because my team was good. He was great for most of the year. Now I'm like, all right, Tyreek's injury, obviously in the air. They're playing the Jets. The Jets defense is very good. Tua's been scaring me a little bit. I snagged Stafford off my wire in that league. In my other league, I have CJ Stroud, who obviously needs a backup right now because of the concussion. You got to see if he's going to play or not. And I picked up Sam Howell. So I could very much have a lot of skin in this game, let alone I have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua in one of those things as well. So I have a lot of skin on the Rams this week. So I didn't want to make it my pick, but looking at the numbers, looking at it, I couldn't help myself.
I hope pick number three from you is just the over straight up.
Like that'd
I'm just great. Going all in.
That'd be great.
All right. Pick number three for me is another straight line. And it probably shouldn't surprise anyone that I'm going to do this because I've been taking this team since the beginning of the year. And now they're down their quarterback, and everybody wanted to jump so far off the bandwagon. This team can't win anymore. This was a Super Bowl roster before the year started, and it's still a Super Bowl roster minus their starting quarterback. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. The line has moved a little bit on me, so -3 is my pick, and it's -124, so I just get it into there. It moved to 3.5 at +100 just before. I could see it ending as a field goal. They're playing Minnesota. They're at home against Minnesota, who may be starting Josh Dobbs. Maybe they're starting who's the old San Fran quarterback who finished that game for them? Nick Mullins. They won that game 3-0 in one of the ugliest NFL games you will ever watch. They won on a late turnover against the same Chargers team who is now down 49-7 against the Raiders. They gave everything they had to that team, and I think the Minnesota juice has gone. That's it. I think that their playoff hopes, their run, there was a middle of the year where they won like 4 or 5 in a row and they were frisky and they were fun. And whether it's the Josh Dobbs magic or the Minnesota magic or something, it just doesn't feel like that's there right now. And I didn't want to mess around with this pick like you had mentioned. I just wanted to straight line it. And I think the Bengals are going to be able to get this one done. I could see it being a push, and maybe I'll join you in the tie column. But Jake Browning looked really good against the Colts last week. He looked really good 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Football against the Jags. Again, I'm not sitting here saying that this team still has their Super Bowl chances alive, but I do think this team has a playoff chance alive because Jake Browning has been there for 3 years. He's not just a backup that they just pulled off the street recently. He's a guy who has been in the system and they have developed and they have felt comfortable with. Obviously, he was never going to overtake Joe Burrow, who's one of the best 3 to 4 quarterbacks in the NFL. But this guy looks like he can play. And he's got Ja'Marr Chase, like I said last week. He's got T. Higgins, like I said last week. He's got Joe Mixon, like I said last week. And now I know his name is Chase Browning, which I wasn't sure of last week. But he's got
Chase
that.
Browning, huh? You just combined. So do you still know his name? I'm not sure.
Chase Browning, that's not it?
Chase Brown.
Oh.
You combined the quarterback, Jake Browning, and Chase Brown, which is a very, very fair mistake to make. But sorry, I had to call you out on that since you said that you knew his name and you didn't.
We can edit that, right?
Nope. Definitely not. No editing.
Well, Ja'Marr Chase, you know. They're going to chase the Vikings out of the playoff race. How about that? It's going to be the Bengals -3. That's pick 3. See you at 3-0.
See you at 3-0, Cody O.
I'm still fitting it in.
Cody O 3-0. Cody 3-0 Connor. Cody 3-0 Connor. There we go.
Yeah, Cody 0-3 and that's a bit. Yeah. I don't like
Cody 0-3.
Yeah.
You haven't done that this year, so you know what? Cody 3-0 Connor. We like.
I've got an 0-3 in there. I got one.
It hurts. I've done it too. It does not. It's not fun to go 0-3.
No, I mean, we're just saying. Mark Shem was 21-18, and he drops an 0-3, and all of a sudden he's back to .500. You know, we're 24-18. You hit 0-3, and all of a sudden you're getting dangerously close to that .500 mark again. So we got to stay above it, and hopefully these picks are the ones to do it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny that you went with three straight bets. I'm actually stalling right now to finalize my final picks. I have a few options out there.
My first one was so now I'm calling you out. My first one was I combined the Giants 14 and Denver plus 8.5. Damn. So it's late, yeah, people. Well, it's late.
It is. I blame Pat Boyle and Marshawn Lugan. Anyway, so I was talking to an old buddy of mine. He's an older gentleman, great guy. And he's a gambler, like we all are, right? And he was telling me about these three-team 10-point teasers he was putting in. And as he was telling me about this, and it ended up losing, I forget which leg lost. And I was just like, wow, you know what? You think you learn over time that the teasers are not better. However, I sit here today with possibly three straight bets on my ledger here, and it feels more nerve-wracking for reason to bet three straight bets in this context. Meanwhile, you're banking on less to go right, right? Like when you put the teasers together, like when you do a Marshawn Lugan, which I'm sure his picks will come in with nine legs each, like each. You are counting on so many things to go right in your favor that when one thing miraculously goes wrong, which it does all the time in the NFL, you're like, oh my God, how did that lose? Yet you make the straight bets and you have three teams and you have a really clean graphic here on Subway Sports Talk social media and it feels more nerve-wracking and we just don't learn, Cody. The teasers sometimes, as beautiful as they are, that's why they're called teasers. We know parlays are for suckers. We've heard this all before and yet we do it all the time anyway, and that's why I lost all my bets probably on Thursday night because all I did was bet stupid same game parlays and first touchdown scores. And if I was going to pick a side, I would have picked the Raiders, but I didn't even bet on it. And now I just lost four bets. Like I'm being stupid. So as I finish stalling here, I'm going to
that was good listen stall, to my,
thank you. I'm going to listen to my own advice and I'm going to take a straight bet. I'm just going to do three raw dogs, Pat Boyle style. There and I'm going to go with another one and I'm going to go with the Saturday night game. And I'm going to take the Detroit Lions -4.5 straight up at home against the Denver Broncos. Right now, there are 47% of the tickets on the Detroit Lions, 67% of the cash. That's at 4.5. So I really like that off the bat. And I think what's really important to note on the Denver Broncos here, they're super turnover dependent at this point in time. When they are not causing turnovers, they haven't been winning. Now, granted, they've won, what, 6 out of 7? So
yeah.
They've been on a crazy stretch of causing turnovers. So I understand why, you know, you'd be like, well, why would it stop now? Turnovers are one of those things that actually does randomly kind of just happen and not happen. We see it all the time in this league. And Jared Goff went on a stretch for a while, throwing a lot of interceptions in this year. He threw three in a row, three weeks in a row with at least one interception. And then last week against, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at the game log upside down there. Sorry. He threw two last week against the Bears, and obviously that came back to bite him. They got beat out. Then he had 2 weeks before that where he didn't throw any interceptions. So it's not like Jared Goff has been incredibly prone to throwing a ton of interceptions. You got to think about him being back in a dome, being at home against Denver Broncos, who, yes, their defense has been good. But on the other side of it, the Lions defense, which has struggled in many ways, has a good spot here against the Broncos because the Broncos are not the type of team to just roll over 450 yards. They are winning every single week by just being consistent, you know, not making big mistakes, their defense putting them in big spots. You know, Russell Wilson for the longest time this year hadn't thrown a lot of yards. Like he hasn't thrown a ton of yards. He hasn't had those games where he's just lighting it up. I think his first 200-yard game of the season was only a few weeks ago, right? So it's not like Russell Wilson's the type of guy to really take advantage of this Lions defense, but also I think the writing on the wall for the Detroit Lions is like, okay, we've fallen off a little bit. We've been one of the teams that was super hyped up early, and now we've fallen on our face a little bit. It's time for us to put our big boy pants back on. We're not losing to the Packers. We're not losing to the Bears anymore. We're playing this the Denver Broncos. That's the same type of team as the Bears and Packers right now. We can't let it happen again. I think the Lions are going to show up. I think they're going to move the ball against the Broncos. They're not going to turn it over. And the Broncos aren't going to take advantage of a mediocre Lions defense like some other teams have. So I'm going Lions -4.5 for my final pick.
I can't say I hate it, even though I am on the opposite side. We got our small sandwich opportunity. We usually we seem to have at least one a week, Pete, where we have a sandwich chance. But the thing is, you're right about Russell Wilson. Like even just watching him, and I almost never have numbers to back up what I'm telling you guys. It's usually my eyes that tell me it. But they are very safe with the football. One or two times a game, he'll throw a moon ball deep shot. And I love that he does that. I wish he did it a little bit more. But those, like, intermediate 15 to 20-yard passes, those don't really happen for Denver. It's a ton of dink and dunk. It's a ton of running. Russell Wilson's legs have been much better of late. I will give him a lot of credit for that. He's using them more like the old Russ, which he looked just like an old Russ, and now he's an older, you know. But he's using his legs again, and that's been the big way for them to move the sticks and pick up third down conversion. But it's not a ton of those, like I said, 10, 15, 20-yard passes over the middle or down the field. It's a lot of home run shots, or a couple rather, and then a lot of dink and dunk. So I see where you're coming from, but they have been in even the game they lost to the Texans that went right down to the wire. So in this seven-game stretch where they've won six of them, they've won it or been right there in all of them. So it's hard to not back that, and that was my thinking there. But
let me correct myself here too, because he actually did have a couple games early in the year where he threw a bunch of yards. So he threw 300 in week two and week three, 225 in week four. But that was when their team was a completely different team, right? Yeah. They started off 1-4. Actually, you know, if you want to go all the way down, they started off 1-6. And some of those games where he threw a lot of yards, like, they were down big. They had no choice. And those were very much different. After week four, he didn't throw 200 yards for five straight weeks. So that was really more of my sentiment there. So since week five, he's only thrown 200 yards twice now. So it's not like the Broncos, like we mentioned before, are lighting up the yardage and putting up crazy crooked numbers. Because really, all these wins, since they've gone on that win streak, Cody, they only scored over 24 points once. And it was against Cleveland, which was a couple defensive situations where, you know, Russell Wilson only threw 134 yards and one touchdown. So it was really the defense that got them those points.
Yeah, they have a lot of games like that that you're like, how did they win that? That's been a lot of their win streak, even the start of it against the Packers, I remember. They beat up on the Chiefs, but there was another one in between way back when. But, yeah, they've just been in games, and that's where me buying them up to 8.5 came into play. But I hope we hit our sandwich, Pete, because I prefer them to lose, being that I have the Chiefs to win the West. If the Chiefs win and the Broncos lose, they have a real stranglehold on it. So – you know, I wouldn't hate to be wrong about this pick, but that's not why I took it. I do think that they can keep it close, so we'll see.
There we go. All right, Cody O'Connor, that's it. We got our picks in. We'll hear from Mark and Pat before Saturday, so we can get all the picks up on social media. You can follow that at Subway Sports Talk on X, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, everywhere. It'll be posted there. And yeah, good stuff. Any last words, Cody? Anything else to say to our listeners before we say goodbye?
I'll take a half a win tonight for taking the Raiders straight up -2.5.
Hell yeah. Oh, you want it on the record? No, no way. I'll give you a push.
All right. I'll see you at 24-18-1. That was a good one. We got a first touchdown score tonight. There's some juice over here, Pete. And we've been saying it for a couple weeks, and I hope I don't jinx it. But me and my brother come home on Thursday nights to my parents and, you know, have dinner and whatnot and see them. And obviously some bets start flying later on in the night. There is some serious Thursday night juice this year. And we both had the fill-in running back for the Raiders. I think his last name is White. First touchdown scorer. So it hasn't stopped. Let's keep it rolling into Saturday, Sunday for us.
Love it. Can't wait. I look forward to it on Saturday. I know I have a free day on Saturday. The lady is going to be with some pals, hanging out, having a girl's day, which means that Petey Pep is going to be having a boy's day. I don't know when, where, how, or why, but it's happening, and I can't wait to watch some football, watch some weird stuff happen all day on Saturday.
That's the best, that you have that on a Saturday where there's three standalone games too. Enjoy.
Just enjoy. Lock in. Can't wait. All right, that's all we got. Subway Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe and review on your podcast app, notification bell on YouTube, so you know when we drop new stuff, as well as on social media, as I mentioned before, at Subway Sports Talk. But for Cody O'Connor, I'm Pete Kennedy. That's all we got. We'll talk to you guys next week. Cheers.